Good morning, everybody. Gavilan, welcome to the Joint Standing Committee on Education and Cultural Affairs. Thank you for being with us this morning. Apologies, we are getting a little bit of a late start. I think we're all just a little bit tired after last night's late activities, but excited to be back with all of you. So I definitely beg everyone's patience who's watching or contributing. If you see him a few steps behind or a few Fruit Loops short of a full box, I know the entire committee is very tired after a couple of days of good work in Augusta. But we are here for public hearings. So we're assembled electronically for the purpose of inviting public comment on legislation. Before I get started, I just wanted to go over some information, which we will after we do introductions. So I am Senator Maddie Daughtry. I represent State Senate District 24, which are the communities, last time I checked, of Brunswick, Harpswell, North Yarmouth, Freeport, and Pownall. And I'll introduce my House Chair, Representative Brennan.
Good morning. I'm Michael Brennan. I represent District 36, which is part of Portland.
And Senator Rafferty?
Yes, Joe Rafferty. I'm in Senate District 34, which is York County area.
And Senator Woodson?
Dave Woodson, District 33, York County.
And Representative Crockett?
Good morning, everyone. Ed Crockett, District 43, part of Portland and part of Falmouth.
Representative Dodge.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Good morning, everyone. Jan Dodge, House District 97, Belfast, Northport, and Waldo.
Representative Lyman.
Good morning. Sheila Lyman, District 74, Livermore, how to Livermore, Jay, and Livermore Falls, and coming to you from Augusta.
Thank you. Representative McCray will be with us hopefully around 11. And Representative Millett.
Good morning. Rebecca Millett representing House District 30, which is most of Cape Elizabeth.
Representative Roach.
Slow on the draw, Mr. this morning for some reason. Good morning. I'm Representative Tim Roach, District 7, Wells.
And Representative Salisbury.
Good morning. I am Sue Salisbury, and I represent House District 35, which is part of Westbrook.
And Representative Sampson.
Good morning. Live, bright-eyed and bushy-tailed from the state capitol, I'm Heidi Sampson, representing House District 21, Alfred, Limerick, Shapley, Newfield, and Parsonsfield.
And Representative Stearns.
Good morning. My name is Paul Stearns. I represent House District 119, which consists of 12 towns and the unorganized townships of Piscataquis County.
Thank you very much, committee. So just to go over a couple of reminders for everyone, this meeting is currently being live streamed on both our YouTube channel as well as the Zoom platform. That means if anyone who's in the participant meeting via Zoom can be seen, just a reminder, if you're on mute, just make sure that when you go to speak, you unmute yourself. I know that I will be very guilty probably in our sleepiness of going X, Y, and Z. This is being, you know, streamed live. So don't say anything that, you know, you wouldn't say to your parents, or don't share any confidential information that you wouldn't like to be streamed publicly. We are going to ask as sort of a reminder, just in, you know, acknowledgement that it is a Friday. If we can ask people to try to aim to get keep their testimony around 3 minutes, that way we can make sure that we get through everyone. We have quite a few folks here to testify on bills this morning. And with that, this is a chance for us to get comment from the public and a reminder for all of us. I'm sure this will be very hard with our sleepy state to remember to just ask questions. But most importantly, I ask everyone who's coming to present to us to have a little patience and have a little kindness and understanding for those of us who will probably, and good smiles, be a little bit behind the eight ball. So with that, I think we're going to jump right in unless there's any questions from the committee. Seeing none, let's get this ball rolling. So going to kick us off. Representative Newell is in the room. And let's gavel in. Introducing, we'll open the public hearing on LD 453, an act to establish a permanent appointment of a member of the Wabanaki tribes to the Board of Trustees of the University of Maine system. And we have bill sponsor, Representative Newell, with us this morning. Welcome.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and good morning, everyone. I'm happy to see you all rested and raring to go on this Friday morning. today. Let me just start this way. Good morning, Senator Daughtry, Representative Brennan, and other distinguished members of the Joint Standing Committee on Education and Cultural Affairs. I am Rena Newell from the Passamaquoddy Tribe. As the tribal representative, I feel it is my duty within my role to strengthen the government-to-government relationship of the tribe and state. Yet, in doing so, to be mindful in furthering the progress of the tribe's right to self-determination and self-governance. Related to the tribe's right to self-determination is the right to participate in the larger governing structure. As Indigenous peoples have a right to maintain and develop their own Indigenous decision-making institutions, they also have the right to participate in decision-making in matters which would affect their rights through representatives chosen by themselves in accordance with their own procedure. By fostering the active participation of Indigenous peoples, the expectation is that their rights will be protected and their culture and physical survival ensured. The Wabanaki tribes of Maine enjoy and exercise their right to participate to participation in public affairs. Prior to holding this position as tribal representative, I served for 9 years as the former tribal education director for the Passamaquoddy tribe at Pleasant Point. It was during this time that I worked directly with post-secondary tribal students and with the various levels of the University of Maine system. It was truly a rewarding experience to serve in this capacity. This opportunity allowed me to work directly with our tribal students, always being open to advocate on behalf of, if needed, yet encouraging their voices to be heard and supporting their presence within the institutions of higher education. The professional success that came from holding this position was received in witnessing students pursuing their higher education goals and reaching their academic success. It is from this point of continued advocacy that has brought us here today. Therefore, I am thankful for the opportunity to present in a good way for this committee's consideration, LD 453, an act to establish a permanent Wabanaki appointment of a member of the Wabanaki tribe to the Board of Trustees of the University of Maine system. What this bill seeks to do is amend the composition of the UMS Board of Trustees, which currently consists of 16 members of the state, and introduces a seat to be held by a member of the Wabanaki tribes. With the understanding relating to process that the governor shall appoint the member who is a member of the Wabanaki tribes based on the recommendation of the tribal governments, which would include the Aroostook Band of Mi'kmaqs, the Houlton Band of Maliseet Indians, the Passamaquoddy Tribe at Indian Township, the Passamaquoddy Tribe at Pleasant Point, and the Penobscot Nation. In recommending the appointment of the tribal member, the tribal governments of the Wabanaki tribes shall establish a process that provides for the membership to rotate among the tribal governments with the understanding that appointments are for a term of 5 years. The time is now to increase representation at these tables, to welcome and reflect the original inhabitants of this land, now known as Maine, and to also represent the diverse population of this state. An inclusive culture is one that accepts, values, and views as strength the difference we all bring to the table. This proposed bill, as well as others that I have submitted this legislative session, seeks to memorialize a space, thus giving deserving recognition to Wabanaki representation and perspective within the state of Maine's boards and commissions.
the opportunity to hold a seat on the Board of Trustees of the University of Maine system is an important one. It provides an opportunity to receive valuable input from a tribal representative from the above-mentioned tribes, thus providing a voice from a Wabanaki cultural perspective in the areas of the UMS system oversight, academic programs, faculty tenure, tuition rates, and operating budgets. The feeling of connection is important to an Indigenous person as it reflects our cultural values to community and with all that surrounds us. I am certain that a Wabanaki representative shall fulfill the role and duties of a Board of Trustees member well and with honor, thus further allowing the connection to be made between the Wabanaki Board of Trustees member and the Indigenous student populations. Today, you will receive additional testimony from tribal and non-tribal elders, tribal education directors, tribal leadership, education professionals, a former Wabanaki representative to the University of Maine System Board of Trustees, state representative, and others that will provide various perspectives in support of the passage of this proposed bill. To those, I extend a thank you, Chi Willy Won. In closing, I humbly call upon each of you to give consideration to the continuance in elevating the standard to improving tribal-state relations through equity and fairness by raising your voice to support LD 453. The future generations of Maine deserve this. It is time to change the narrative. We must come to accept the richness and diversity of all who shared this shared land, who share this land by working together. I believe collectively we can make the difference. I'll be happy to answer any questions that the members of the committee may have at this time. Should I be unable to answer, I would ask that an opportunity to present a response be provided for during the work session. Respectfully presented, Willy Won.
Thank you so much, Representative Newell. And absolutely, any information that needs to come back before the work session is absolutely fine by us. And with that, thank you for your testimony. And just want to see, do we have any questions from the committee at this time? Seeing none, thank you so much for your testimony. We'll definitely be in touch if any questions come up during the public hearing as well.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you. With that, just as a reminder, I was remiss in not saying the order we will be going in for all the public hearings is first the bill sponsor, as well as any legislative co-sponsors or legislators, followed by folks testifying for, followed by folks testifying against, and followed by folks testifying neither for nor against. And with that, I am going to let in Representative Kyle Bailey. And after, so folks who are in the waiting room can get an idea of the order. After Representative Bailey, we'll be hearing from John Mattis. And with that, good morning, Mr. Bailey, Representative Bailey.
Good morning, Senator. Good morning, Senator Daughtry, Representative Brennan, distinguished members of the Education Committee. Thank you for the opportunity to testify in support of an act to establish a permanent appointment of a member of the Wabanaki Tribes to the Board of Trustees of the University System, LD 453. This is my first time testifying before this committee this session, so thank you for the opportunity. You know, as I was thinking about this bill, I was thinking about Mainers and how we see ourselves in the state or those of us who are newer Mainers. You know, most people born and raised in our state are rightfully proud of this fact. In fact, Mainers have developed phrases and expressions around this identity. For example, if you're not from here, you're from quote unquote away. Even those born here might not be real Mainers because, as the saying goes, just because a cat has kittens in the oven, don't make them biscuits. So some of you have parents, grandparents, or great-grandparents who were born here. Your Maine origin story may date back further, perhaps even to colonial times, more than 245 years ago. Representative Newell's family has lived here for thousands of years. The Wabanaki people were the first Mainers and would be the dominant population in these lands today had they not been violently slaughtered and removed and inflicted with foreign diseases by white European colonists from away. And had it not been for centuries of persecution and discrimination by my and many of your white ancestors who sought to control, contain, and diminish the Wabanaki population through policy, policing, public health, and public education. According to the NCSL State Tribal Institute, Native students perform 2 to 3 grade levels below their white peers in reading and math, are 237% more likely to drop out of school, are 207% more likely to be expelled than white students. Only 7 of 100 Native American kindergartners will go on to earn a bachelor's degree, while 34 out of 100, and I believe that number is higher now, white kindergartners will. We really must grapple with this history of violent institutional racism and the resulting socioeconomic inequalities and disparities that persist. And today's public hearing and the deliberation by this committee on LD 453 is part of a larger conversation about the history, hard truths, and our path forward. It's a consequential one because representation matters. The Maine House has made seats available in its chamber to representatives from the Wabanaki tribes. Surely we can make seats available to representatives from the Wabanaki on state boards and commissions, where important decisions are made that directly impact the lives and native lands of First Mainers. This includes the Board of Trustees that oversees Maine's land-grant university and institutions across Maine that now occupy native Wabanaki lands. To be crystal clear, this conversation is not about pointing fingers. You know, blame, shame, guilt won't help a single Wabanaki teenager earn their high school diploma or adult to obtain their college degree. Obtaining a permanent seat for the Wabanaki tribes on the UMS Board of Trustees will help us reach for these better outcomes together by ensuring that the voices and perspectives of the Wabanaki are heard in UMS policy and budget decisions. Thank you for the opportunity to testify before the committee in support of this bill.
Thank you so much, Representative Bailey. Do I have any questions from the committee? Seeing none, thank you so much for your time. I just want to let folks know I'll be letting in John Mattis, and please let me know if I'm mispronouncing anyone's last names, followed by Grace Levitt. And so that. Popping Mr. Mattis over. And good morning, Mr. Mattis. And you'll have to correct me if I've gotten your name wrong. Can you hear us? Let's see. Mr. Mattis, if you can hear us, if you can unmute and start your video. Let's see. Okay, I think he may have stepped away. I don't know, Sam, if we have a way to contact him for what he signed up through email, just to check. But with that, I am going to let in Grace Levitt. We are now moving to folks who are testifying for this bill. And with that, we'll see if we can get Mr. Mattis back. And welcome, Ms. Levitt.
Great. Thank you. Good morning, Senator Daughtry, Representative Brennan, and members of the Committee on Education and Cultural Affairs. My name is Grace Levitt. I'm a high school Spanish teacher, National Board certified, on leave from SAD 51 to serve as president of the Maine Education Association, representing nearly 24,000 educators in the state. The MEA Board of Directors set promoting social and racial justice as one of its priorities this year. We've been learning a lot, and this work is ongoing and certainly will continue into the future as a continuing priority of the organization. There is so much to do to ensure our public school systems and institutions are welcoming of the diverse population we serve and that these systems are equitable and inclusive of all. The MEA has begun the practice of starting our meetings with a land acknowledgement in which we remind participants of the land on which we are holding our meetings and trainings. This is a practice that the National Education Association brought forth just a few years ago at an annual representative assembly, and MEA has since adopted. I still have much to learn about the Indigenous peoples of Maine, as well as of our country, their history and their culture. But what knowledge I have gained thus far through this practice has brought greater clarity and urgency to the need to be sure that as decisions are made, we're including the voices that are representative of our population. Institutions like the University of Maine play an extremely vital role in our state, both in our state's education and also economy. With that role comes the obligation to be inclusive of all members and all voices. While MEA understands the need to have a board of trustees that can efficiently manage the operations of the university, we also feel the system's board of trustees, given its important role in our state, has a heightened responsibility to be inclusive and dedicated to racial equity. A critical step toward accepting this responsibility is acknowledging the role of America's First People by making sure the Native people of our state have a voice in our state's university system. The voice of a representative of the Wabanaki tribes should be included on the Board of Trustees of the University of Maine system. I understood from Representative Newell's speaking that this would be adding a seat to the Board of Trustees, which I included in this last paragraph. That is what we feel would be best going forward. So hopefully that was the intent that wasn't clear to me in the legislation itself. But we certainly do hope that this will be passed and would ensure the representation of the diverse voices on the UMaine System Board of Trustees. Thank you for your time. Thank you for your work last night. I know you had a late evening. I'm glad you're all here this morning. We'll try to answer any questions if you have any. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Ms. Lovett. Does the committee have any questions at this time? Seeing none, thank you so much for your testimony. And we are going to circle back and go back to Mr. Mattis, and you'll have to let me know how much I massacred your name.
Senator Daughtry, Representative Brennan, and members of the Joint Standing Committee on Education and Cultural Affairs. My name is John Mattis, and I am speaking in favor of LD 453 on behalf of the Committee on Indian Relations of the Episcopal Diocese of Maine. The Committee on Indian Relations has been working since 1991 to improve relationships between Episcopalians and other members, other Mainers who are descendants of settlers, and Wabanaki peoples who are descendants of the original inhabitants of Maine. We believe that all people are beloved by the one who created us all, and that all people, including those indigenous to this place, deserve to be treated with respect and to have their voices heard when decisions are being made that affect their lives. I am also Associate Professor Emeritus in the College of Education and Human Development at the University of Maine in Orono. While on the faculty at the University of Maine, I chaired the committees that designed the Native American Studies program in 1994 to 96 and selected the first director of that program in 1996 to 97. I also worked to incorporate Maine Native American history and culture into the curriculum of our pre-service teacher education programs. LD 453 would ensure that there is always a representative of the Wabanaki tribes on the University of Maine System Board of Trustees. Although Wayne Newell, Passamaquoddy, and Bonnie Newsom, Penobscot, served on the Board of Trustees from 2006 to 2011 and 2011 to 2016, respectively, the current membership of the Board of Trustees does not include anyone from the Wabanaki tribes. The tribes are seeking to strengthen government-to-government relationships with the state of Maine, and many Mainers are responding in support of improving tribal-state relationships and overcoming past misunderstandings and conflicts. Having representation on key state decision-making bodies, such as the University of Maine System Board of Trustees, would ensure that the views and concerns of tribal governments are adequately represented in the deliberation of those bodies. Among the issues that the University of Maine System Board of Trustees will be dealing with in the future and that impact Wabanaki people and tribes are the following. The Indian Tuition Waiver and Scholarship Program, LD 291, passed in 2001, an act to require Maine Native American history and culture in all Maine schools, Natural Resources and Economic Development, Care and Management of Wabanaki Cultural Resources held at University of Maine System campuses, and the One University Institutional Accreditation. In my written testimony, which I submitted, I have provided more information on each of these issues. Existing law requires that in making appointments, the government shall strive to achieve a membership which is representative of the population of the state. Insofar as feasible, when selecting qualified nominees to the board, the governor shall consider affirmative action criteria, professional education and experience, and equitable geographic representation among members. The current membership of the board consists entirely of people who are visibly white. There's no one on the board who represents the 7% of the state's population, according to the most recent available estimate of the U.S. Bureau of the Census, who are Indigenous, Black, Hispanic, other people of color, or mixed race. Adding a permanent position for a citizen of the Wabanaki tribes would ensure that the board would always have at least one person who does identify as non-white and who would offer other perspectives on issues which come before the board. We urge you to vote in favor of LD 453. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much for your testimony. Do I have any questions from the committee at this time? Representative Sampson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you, Mr. Mattis, for attending our hearing. So my question here is, have there been any attempts prior to this hearing to request that the Native Americans or a member of the Wabanaki tribe be a part of the Board of Trustees? I mean, what's the history?
Okay, so the history is that there have actually been two members of the Wabanaki tribes who have served on the Board of Trustees. And when Bonnie Newell completed her term, she recommended people from the Wabanaki tribes to be appointed to the Board of Trustees. And the governor did not accept any of her recommendations. And so we have not had a member of the Wabanaki tribes on the Board of Trustees since Bonnie got off the board in 2016.
Okay, I just was gonna have a follow-up if I could, but you answered my question. Thank you very much.
Any other questions from the committee? Seeing none, thank you so much for your testimony and for your time.
Thank you.
And we have up next, we will be having Bonnie Newsom join us. Then after that, we will be having Candy Ewer and Fenton Jones, who have asked to testify together. So just to give you folks a heads up, if you're listening, that you'll be up next. And with that, I will let Bonnie Newsom into the hearing. Thank you so much. Sam, I am not seeing Miss Newsom and just need someone to double check my tired eyes.
I don't see her either, Senator. I'll go ahead and reach out.
Okay, after that, we'll be having, I would just get a message. Is Ms. Newsom perhaps on someone else's, Ms. Newell, can you hear me?
Madam Chair, I believe Ms. Newsom may be listed under Samantha Warren.
I was just about to ask, we just got a question. So I will let Ms. Warren / Ms. Newsom in. And good morning, Ms. Newsom. If you can hear us, the floor is yours.
Good morning, everyone.
Good morning. Sorry about that.
No problem. That's fine. It's good to see you all. Senator Daughtry, Representative Brennan, and distinguished members of the Joint Standing Committee on Education and Cultural Affairs. My name is Bonnie Newsom, and I'm an assistant professor of anthropology in the Climate Change Institute here at the University of Maine. I'm also a proud citizen of the Penobscot Nation. As you know, the University of Maine is located on our Marsh Island in the ancestral homeland of the Penobscot people, where issues of water and territorial rights and encroachment upon sacred sites are ongoing. If you visit campus, you will notice bilingual signs that identify campus spaces in both Penobscot and English. And this is an important reminder of the Penobscot people's deep connections to this land, a connection that extends back at least 10,000 years. The university recognizes these deep ties between the Penobscot Nation and this place, and also recognizes that the Wabanaki tribes are distinct, sovereign, legal, and political entities with their own powers of self-governance and self-determination. In 2007, as Dr. Mattis mentioned, Passamaquoddy elder and scholar Wayne Newell became the first Wabanaki person appointed to serve on the University of Maine System Board of Trustees, something that he considered very, very meaningful. When his term ended, I became the second. I was truly honored to serve from 2011 to 2016, and I'm equally honored to be asked by the University of Maine system to speak on its behalf today in support of establishing a permanent seat on the Board of Trustees for a Wabanaki tribal member, as LD 453 proposes. There were numerous times during my tenure as a trustee that my experiences as a Wabanaki woman informed my perspectives on the issues and investments before the board. For example, I remained a steadfast advocate for UMS universities like those in Machias and Presque Isle that serve Wabanaki communities because I've experienced how access to higher education can empower us to confront the unique social, political, and economic challenges Indigenous peoples face in this country. As a Wabanaki person, I also provided the board a unique lens through which to view our oversight and operational duties. For example, during my tenure, the Board of Trustees shifted its meeting seating arrangements to include university presidents at the board table. I supported this, but also expressed that the same courtesy should be extended to faculty representatives to the board. And this comes from my experiences with Wabanaki leadership approaches, which tend to be very inclusive. This may seem minor, but I share it because I feel that sitting together and working together go hand in hand. And as board members, we each bring our individual knowledge and best practices, including those I have seen as an Indigenous person, to the board to achieve sound recommendations for the benefit of all. This example also speaks to one of the great benefits in having a Wabanaki tribal member on the governing board of Maine's largest educational and economic development enterprise, which goes well beyond the understanding of Indigenous issues that a Wabanaki tribal citizen will bring. At a time when so much is being done to strengthen tribal-state relations, the deliberate inclusion of a Wabanaki person on the Board of Trustees would foster further opportunity for us to work together on matters of shared interest and importance, thus improving overall relations and providing a model for productive collaboration. Passage of LD 453 would also signal the state's commitment to Indigenous students and thus our tribal futures. Wabanaki students have been well served by the University of Maine system, which waives tuition and mandatory fees for Indigenous students. Maine's public universities have also added several Indigenous faculty and supports numerous Wabanaki community engagement and cross-cultural learning initiatives that span pre-K through 20. Elevating Wabanaki voices to the board builds on that progress for the benefit not just of tribal members, but of all students, faculty, staff, and all Maine citizens. Finally, representation truly matters. And to see a Wabanaki person like themselves serving on the Board of Trustees sends a very powerful message to Native students that our voices are valued and that they can and should aspire to leadership positions that have the potential to affect positive change for our communities. This validates their identity and creates new opportunities for them to serve. As the University of Maine system accelerates institutional action to advance diversity, equity, inclusion, and inclusion in both admissions and hiring, it welcomes a governing board that reflects the people of Maine and its own student population. Requiring Wabanaki representation on the board is an appropriate step that recognizes how tribal lands, culture, people, and resources have uniquely contributed to the success of the University of Maine system universities. Wabanaki tribal citizens bring important philosophies of education, inclusivity, and resource management that will strengthen stewardship of the system and enrich classroom, campus, and community activities. We truly hope you will support this overdue and deeply meaningful proposal. And thanks so much for giving me the opportunity to testify today. And I really look forward to answering any questions you might have.
Thank you so much, Ms. Newsom. We have a question from Representative Sampson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you, Ms. Newsom, for being here. So I guess I want to try and figure out why. So you were the last member of the tribe. That was in 2016. So it's been 5 years. What have been the barriers? What is the obstacle that's been preventing a member of your tribe to be on a board of a member of the Board of Trustees? I mean, is there other candidates that are interested? I'd like you to flesh that idea out for me, please.
When I left the Board of Trustees, I offered a couple of names of individuals to my fellow board members to advance forward to the governor's office. And I don't know why those names didn't emerge into somebody to serve on the board. I think the barriers is that we as Wabanaki people aren't in positions of power in a way that we can influence change as much as we'd like. So the governor has the power to make the decisions about who serves. And so moving in a direction that influences those decisions a little more strongly in terms of Wabanaki representation, I think would benefit the tribal representation on the board. And there's no mechanism in place, I guess is the best answer, to ensure that a Wabanaki representative be on the board.
Do you have a follow-up, Representative Sampson?
Yes, please. Thank you. That's helpful. So I guess I'm just trying to figure out, I mean, what you're asking seems to be a no-brainer to me. So I'm just trying to figure out what in the world is going on. And when was the last time that, I have a two-part question. So you've got the university system. They have influence. They can request things and individuals and as well. So yes, the governor appoints, but the Board of Trustees, the members of the Board of Trustees and
it's
the university
time for
system,
my favorite.
They're not devoid of those abilities to lobby per se. So when was the last time that you or someone else put in a request to chief executive?
Well, it wasn't a formal request. And I guess that's probably where the breakdown happened. It was a conversation with fellow board members and the then chancellor that I recommended that they fill my seat with another Wabanaki person. And I don't know what happened after that, to be honest with you. I provided that information. I offered a couple of names for them to offer up to the governor, but I don't know where it went from there. And maybe, you know, perhaps one of the approaches to this question is to raise it with Samantha Warren, who's our Director of Government and Community Relations. She may be able to address that question better than I can. I didn't have much involvement with the board after I left the board.
Thank you. I'll when Ms. Warren comes up, I'd like a little more information. So thank you so much. I appreciate your help.
Mm-hmm. Thank you so much. Do I have any other questions from the committee at this time? Seeing none, just thank you for being here with us.
And thank you
for your testimony. Up next, I just clicked out of my screen. I do believe up next that we have Fenton Jones and Candy Ure, who will be testifying together. So just bear with me real quick while I promote them to panelists. I will admit this feels like this is taking me two times longer than it normally does on a full night's of sleep. So thank you everyone for your patience. Okay, I see that we have Ms. Ure with us. Let's see if we can get Mr. Jones. Okay, I think we've got everyone. Good morning, Ms. Ure and Mr. Jones. Definitely let us know how you'd like to handle the testimony together. For committee members, they submitted joint testimony, so that's why we're taking their testimony together. And with that, welcome.
Thank you. Quay and Willalan, hello and thank you. My name is Fenton Jones. I'm the Aristic Bannon Mi'kmaq's Education Director. And we have Candy Ure that is also on the call, who is the Penobscot Nation Education Director. On behalf of our Tribal Education Directors, I'll be reading a testimony in support of the LD 453. We are writing to you in support of LD 453. We are the Tribal Education Directors representing five tribal communities in Maine, the Aristic Bannon Mi'kmaqs, the Houghton Bannon Maliseet Indians, the Passamaquoddy Tribe at Indian Township, the Passamaquoddy Tribe at Pleasant Point, and the Penobscot Nation. We each work directly with students who attend the various campuses of the University of Maine system. Collectively, we have approximately 290 students enrolled across the University of Maine system. Representation and connection with other tribal citizens is important to the success of our students. The degree of representation at all levels, student body, faculty, and at its highest level of oversight, the Board of Trustees, is key to our students finding their educational home at the University of Maine campus. In order to support success and remove barriers, our students need peers, staff, and administrators who understand their motivations and fears and stereotypes and believe in their unlimited potential. A permanent Wabanaki seat on the Board of Trustees would indicate that our students are an integral part of the University of Maine system. Each university strives for student diversity on campus, and same cohesion should be represented on the Board of Trustee level. Inclusion of Wabanaki presence would culturally broaden the mission of Board of Trustees and ultimately empower our students and strengthen our tribal communities. We believe that by ensuring the Wabanaki community has a voice on the Board of Trustees, this sends the message that the university is invested in our children, our concerns, and our successes. This representation is of the utmost importance and beneficial towards our future generations. LD 453 will guarantee that a member of our Wabanaki community has a seat on the University of Maine System Board of Trustees, giving us all a voice. We urge you all to vote in favor of LD 453. Willalan, Willalan, Willalan. On behalf of Amber Wire, Houghton Bannon Maliseet's Education Director, Nakia Dana, Passamaquoddy Tribe, Indian Township, me with the Aristic Bannon Mi'kmaqs, Evelyn with the Passamaquoddy Tribe, Pleasant Point Education Director, and Candy Ure of the Penobscot Nation, we thank you for your time.
Thank you so much, Mr. Jones. I don't know, Ms. Ure, if you had anything you'd like to add before we switch to questions.
No, that was it. Thank you.
I have a question from Representative Brennan.
Thank you, Senator. And Mr. Jones, thank you for being here today.
Representative Brennan, you're on mute. And when I went to tell you you're on mute, I was also on mute.
I was convinced that I was not on mute. Again, thank you, Mr. Jones. Thank you for being here today. And my question was, you gave us the number of students that were attending the University of Maine system. My question was, do you know how many are attending the community college?
I do not have a number off the top of my head. I know that I work with quite a few students at our community college systems, but I would have to get that number from our fellow education directors to give you more of an exact number.
Okay. And secondly, I know there's a tuition waiver for students attending the community college, the Native American. Does that also apply to the university system?
Candy, I may let you take on that question.
Yeah, thank you. Yes, there is a waiver at both systems, but the waiver is administered a little bit different. So it's not exactly the same, applied the same.
Okay, thank you.
Welcome.
Thank you.
Do I have any further questions from the committee? Seeing none, I want to thank you both for being here this morning. Oh, Representative Sampson, are you raising your hand?
No, sorry. I was just trying to fix the light so I don't look like I'm in the dark here.
No worries. I just realized I'm in a similar situation. That being said, I'm not seeing any further questions from the committee. I want to thank you both for being here and thank you for testifying and thank you for your patience with our very tired selves. And then, oh, thank you. See, up next we have Cyril Francis. So let me switch everyone over. Okay, and just to let folks know, after Cyril Francis presents, up next we have Kevin Ritchie. And good morning and welcome.
Yes, good morning.
Welcome.
Thanks. Cyril Neld Lewis. Raskramu Kadnil, Zibayignu Jail, Chik Nakchagnil, Dulna Bemuk, Sede Alagumukik, Uliwan. Good morning, Senator Daughtry, Representative Brennan, and other distinguished members of the Joint Standing Committee on the Education and Cultural Affairs. My name is Cyril Francis. I'm a proud citizen of the Passamaquoddy Tribe in Zibayig, Maine. I present this testimony today in strong support of LD 453, an act to establish the Board of Trustees, a permanent appointment of a member of the Wabanaki Tribes to the Board of Trustees of the University of Maine system. In 1995, I earned my bachelor's degree from University of Maine in Machias. In 1998, I earned my Master of Social Work degree from the University of Maine in Arnold. I am very proud of these accomplishments and am extremely grateful for the opportunity to pursue. Testified, there hasn't been a member of the UMaine Board Trustees who represented the Wabanaki Tribes. The first serving member of the board was Harvard graduate, Mr. Wayne Newell of Indian Township. Mr. Newell was appointed by Governor Baldacci in 2007. Then after Mr. Newell, as others have mentioned, Bonnie Newsom served. But since that seat was vacated, it has not been filled. In order to have a diverse representation on this Board of Trustees, a member of the Wabanaki Tribes is warranted and would be most filling. We have many tribal members who exemplify leadership skills, possess team player attributes, and would be fair to all students. A member of our tribes would know best the needs of the Wabanaki students and would advocate for these students if and when necessary. I, as well as citizens of the Wabanaki tribes, would be honored to contribute to a prestigious board such as the UMaine Board of Trustees. I'm happy to answer any questions at this time. Thank you for your consideration.
Thank you so much for being with us, and thank you for your testimony. I have a question from Representative Sampson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you, Ms. Francis, for being here.
Thank you.
You may not be the person to ask, but I just had this thought. How many years does a Board of Trustees serve until they need to be reappointed? Do you know that answer?
I do not, but I thought I heard Representative Newell say 5 years.
Okay. Thank you. That's helpful. Appreciate it.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Do I have any further questions from the committee? Seeing none, thank you so much for your testimony.
Thank you.
We have Kevin Ritchie. And let me switch everyone over. Good morning, Mr. Ritchie.
Good morning. And good morning, members of the Joint Standing Committee on Education and Cultural Affairs. My name is Kevin Ritchie. I am speaking in favor of LD 453 as a citizen of the town of Lee and as a longtime Maine educator who has taught Native students in various settings for 43 years. As a staff member of the Upward Bound program at UMaine Orono from 1976 to 79, I began to understand and appreciate some aspects of Penobscot people and culture. From 1980 to 81 at the Bangor Job Corps Center, further experiences increased my understanding through relationships with Passamaquoddy and Penobscot youth. From 1981 to 2016, as an educator at Lee Academy, my professional and personal life was enriched by teaching Passamaquoddy and Penobscot students. From 2017 to 2019, I gained additional knowledge and awareness through working with staff at the 3K-8 schools of the Penobscot and Passamaquoddy tribes as a grant administrator with Maine Indian Education. To my great good fortune, I had opportunities over many years to visit the reservations, to meet with elders, to participate in ceremonies of celebration and loss, and to build relationships that helped me better understand the tensions and contextual differences between races. Cultural differences are real and profound, yet often incompletely seen and acknowledged and understood. Through trial and error, I figured out that if I wanted to help my Native students learn more effectively, I needed to make positive use of the different ways of seeing that I was being shown by them. I needed additional ways to understand and teach about culture, history, storytelling, and nature. I also needed additional ways to be in relationship and different ways to listen. My inclinations as a white person to focus my teaching solely on content learning goals and achievement of concrete skills and knowledge would have had no other context if not for my good fortune. And all my students benefited, Native, non-Native, international, all of them. My point is this: far more Maine people do not have access to experiences such as mine than do have access to them. LD 453 can bring a unique, long-term depth of experience and perspective to the university board, which could change this fact. A more diverse university board could better support racial awareness and understanding in our young teachers, young business leaders, young professional people, and others who graduate from, and those who work within the university system. LD 453 could provide an opportunity to further evolve what is already a good faith effort to shift perceptions, to right wrongs, to build more truthful and beneficial relationships between our state government and institutions and the governments of the tribes of Maine. In addition, I believe that this board member could be a natural conduit for the views of people of other races and cultures in Maine to the university system. In this time of addressing global environmental crises, a Native trustee voice could be a helpful part of the systemic planning and visioning around such matters that I'm guessing the university system is already pursuing. This person could also provide insight regarding tuition-related matters with Native students in Maine. An ongoing tribal voice on the trustees could help the university see and pursue its role in helping to fulfill the vision of LD 291, a passed law that's close to my heart. You may recall that LD 291, passed in 2001, was designed to formalize teaching of Native history and culture to all Maine youth. Unfortunately, the law was never adequately supported, its potential perhaps not fully understood. I see the reexamination of LD 291 as a crucial way to develop greater racial awareness and understanding among students training to be Maine teachers, a gift waiting to happen for them. And a permanent member on the board could provide perspective and leadership toward this effort. LD 453 is an opportunity to, over time, assist us in better knowing each other. Native Americans, Caucasian Americans, and the increasing number of African Americans and Asian Americans who are Mainers. What little I really understand about racial and cultural difference came to me through opportunities to experience the generous spirit of many Maine Native people. Passage of LD 453 would help to open a door which, through policy and programs, broader discussions and perspective could have a similar effect, directly and indirectly, for many more Maine people. I urge you to vote in favor of LD 453, and I very much appreciate the opportunity to speak to you today. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Mr. Ritchie. Do I have any questions from the committee at this time? Seeing none, thank you so much. Up next, we have Ms. Dana, who I am promoting to panelist. And after Ms. Dana, we have, Wayne Cobb, unfortunately, had to step away due to a prior engagement. So I would just say to anyone who's in the attendees room, if I've not called your name and you are intending to speak, please make sure to go to the reactions tab and hit raise hand so we can make sure we don't miss you. And with that, welcome, and the floor is yours, Ms. Dana.
Good morning. Thank you, Madam Chair. Senator Daughtry, Representative Brennan, and members of the committee, it is my honor to be here today to speak in support of this very important bill. My name is Molly Andana, and I am a citizen of the Penobscot Nation, and I also serve as our tribal ambassador. So I will be giving testimony today on behalf of the Penobscot Nation in support of this bill. It's kind of neat going later in the process because so many great things have been said. I can be a little bit briefer in my remarks. I want to thank Representative Newell for her leadership on this issue, as well as her other bills. I really enjoy the idea of placing permanent Wabanaki seats on these different boards and institutions, because then we get, you know, no matter who is in the executive branch or what administration we're under, we have a guaranteed place where meaningful consultation and collaboration will happen. I know that we've talked a little bit in the hearing about why this hasn't been filled by a Wabanaki tribal member since 2016, and Bonnie Newsom hit it on the head because there isn't a mechanism. And this is the case in a lot of instances in tribal-state relations. There's a real lack of clarity and a lack of communication. So when we can put these things in place to make this process easier, there is a lot more room to grow trust. And I think as we approach, hopefully, a new dawn of tribal-state relations, we're looking at healing, we're looking at trust, and we're looking at hope as kind of things we're all striving for, I think. There are a lot of efforts in the legislature over the past couple of years to improve this relationship, and this bill is exactly, you know, a no-brainer. This is a great thing to do to make this better. We've talked a lot about some of the mechanics of how all this works. And, you know, Bonnie Newsom talked about how the University of Maine Orono is on traditional Penobscot homeland. There is signage in the Penobscot language around campus. We have done some meaningful collaborations between the campus and our tribe that really speaks to, you know, the power of that relationship and how we're trying to make the most of it. So I wanted to offer kind of a personal perspective as a graduate of University of Maine Orono. I entered college on the tuition waiver as a Penobscot Nation tribal citizen. The campus is about 15 minutes from my home on Indian Island. I was able to go to school, live on campus, work a couple of part-time jobs in my community, and supported myself through college. I could not afford to go to college if it hadn't been for the tuition waiver, and I did not have the support or bandwidth or capacity to be looking for scholarships or other ways to pay for college. The tuition waiver is, you know, very responsible or very essential part of how I got to this place in life. When I graduated from the University of Maine Orono, I was 22 years old and I was 5 months pregnant with my first child. I had another child 2 years later. And I can honestly say without the education I received, I was a political science major, graduated in 2006. And without that education, I would not have been able to raise my two daughters as a single mom. They are now, my older daughter is now 14 and my younger one reminds me every day that she turns 12 this month. And I'm really proud that I've been able to show them that you can work really hard, take advantage of opportunities, and you can be a success story no matter the odds in life. And you know, I feel really blessed and lucky to have taken advantage of the tuition waiver. But as I've grown older and gotten into my career as a tribal leader and understanding, you know, some of the background of the tuition waiver and this relationship with the University of Maine, it all, you know, I truly feel like my ancestors have, you know, paid time and time again for the education that I received. You know, this is a question of equity. It's a question of honor. And this relationship with the University of Maine system is something that needs to be nurtured and grown because education has been such a great equalizer for our people. I get to do some work around equity in Maine at the moment. I am the co-chair of the Permanent Commission on the Status of Indigenous, Racial, and Tribal Populations in Maine. I'm also the co-chair of the Maine Climate Council Subcommittee on Equity. So it really does my heart good to see these themes permeating a lot of different aspects in Maine culture, society, and now government. So I'm very pleased, as you can tell, to support this bill today. I would urge you to vote ought to pass. I am more than happy to answer any questions. And I really want to thank all the tribal citizens, academics, all the experts, and especially Representative Newell that have offered such a wholesome picture of where we are at with this issue right now. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Ambassador Dana, and I apologize for completely tired blanking on your title.
Don't worry.
Do I have any questions from the committee? Seeing none, thank you so much for taking the time for being here this morning with us and for your testimony. And with that, if there's anyone left in the attendees room who would like to testify, just one last reminder, please raise your hand via the reactions button. And not seeing anyone, I think, Sam, unless I'm wrong, that is everyone we have signed up to speak, correct?
That's everyone, Senator.
So we'll just say, do we have anyone who'd like to testify against? Seeing none, is there anyone who'd like to testify neither for nor against? Well, seeing none, Senator Woodsum.
Thank you, Madam Chair. This is all, we have taken up everybody who wants to speak, right?
Yes.
Okay. Would it be appropriate to close the hearing and go directly into work session?
We can definitely, after I close the public hearing, take a straw poll of the committee and see how everyone feels and just definitely check. So first with that, let me close, let me pull up my correct documents. So with that, let me close the public hearing on LD 453. And before we transition to LD 515, We will definitely check in with everyone. Representative Brennan.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And I just say right up top, I'd be a little reluctant to go into work session at this particular point on this bill. I do have two questions for our staff person that I was hoping to follow up on in work session. And the first one is that in the current law, it says that when the governor makes appointments to the Board of Trustees, he or she would engage in affirmative action process and criteria examining that. And I'd like to know what the governor does at this particular point to follow affirmative action criteria when selecting people to be on the Board of Trustees. So, because that's an existing law. And then secondly, in the amendment that you sent us yesterday, the proposed amendment, I just think there needs to be some clarification about how the process would work. If there were recommendations from the tribe, I believe it says that the governor must act on that recommendation. And I don't know if we have the authority to do that.
Representative Brennan, that's definitely something we can get information on. Yeah. Seeing that, Senator Woodsum, you had your hand up as well. Just want to make sure I'm not passing over you.
No, I just feel that we could go in a work session and get this thing done with.
So then I guess I would ask at this point, I do want to make sure that everyone has their information. My only hesitation is mostly my sheer exhaustion and fear that I will miss something in it. But to honor that request, I would just say, oh, Representative Dodge. You have your hand up. You're on mute.
I'm sorry, I don't mean to interrupt you. Would you like to finish your statement or thought?
Oh, I was just going to say we can do a straw poll to see if people would like to go into work session, but just I think would probably just caution because I do want to make sure that Mr. Seneff has time to collect all the information that perhaps maybe this is something we can just get on our docket for as soon as possible. Any other thoughts, Representative Dodge?
Well, my question was, I wonder if we don't want to hear from Ms. Warren, the government relations person, for her input also, and she is not in the waiting room, if I understand you correctly.
Correct.
Okay. I would like to hear from her. Thank you.
So I would say, Senator Woodsum, just keeping in mind that we've had three different requests, I think at this time, I think it would probably be best to wait for everyone. Representative Newell.
Yes, thank you, Madam Chair. It was my understanding in speaking with Ms. Warren that Ms. Newcomb would be speaking on behalf of the University of Maine system.
And I would urge the committee to, and this is exactly why I think we should maybe perhaps hold off on the work session. If you look at Ms. Newsom's testimony that's available and was emailed us online, it is on the University of Maine system letterhead and does make that connection clear. So thank you for that reminder, Representative Newell. Senator Woodsum?
I have no comment.
Okay. Seeing that, is with those questions, is there still a desire for a straw poll about whether going in a work session or do we want to defer to a later date?